take this time to thank my co-authors for their help and collaboration on this project, Dr. Roger Leonard, Josh Temple, and Jared Horkey. Understanding some basic biological characteristics, such as feeding habits, within plant distribution, field dispersion, and among others, is important when developing our IPM programs for our economically important pests. There are several or many natural and man-made factors that can impact our sampling and control of these pests. This is very true in our cotton IPM program, especially when dealing with the tarnished plant bug. Tarnished plant bug, or Lygus linalaris in the family Myridae, is a major pest of cotton across the cotton belt. It's currently ranked second to heliothines nationally. However, in many of our mid-south cotton growing states, it is the number one pest. In Louisiana in 2007, we saw a 3.6% yield loss due to this pest. There are several explanations as to why this pest status has risen in recent years. One being a large reduction in broad spectrum insecticide sprays because of the adoption of BT cultivars to control Lepidopteran pests, boll eradication program, and an increase in use and development of target-specific insecticides. There are several IPM programs recommended for the control of this pest. However, our chemical control remains the main tool used. For our chemical applications to be effective, we need efficient and accurate sampling protocols that can monitor our populations and our damage level. These sampling methods, coupled with our recommended action thresholds, are used to trigger our insecticide applications. Some of the common sampling protocols used are the sweep net, black shake sheet, and several whole plant or fruiting form examination techniques. All these sampling methods are effective in their own way, but each have their limitations that should be considered before going into a field situation. Various factors can influence our sampling protocols, our action thresholds, and our insecticide applications. Plant size and growth stage and insect stage are some of the factors that can impact our sampling protocol and which one we choose. We're also seeing various factors influencing our insecticide application and its effectiveness, such as insecticide resistance, rapid field reinfestation, and some novel modes of action that are behaving differently from what we're used to seeing in the field. All of these factors can lead to multiple insecticide applications, and often within a short period of time. It's important for us to get a better understanding of how all these factors impact our insect population in the field. The goal of our study was to evaluate the within-plant distribution of tarnished plant bug nymphs on non-treated and insecticide-treated cotton plants in the flowering stage. Treatments for our study were non-insecticide-treated cotton plants and insecticide-treated cotton plants. We used acephate at 0.8 pounds of formulation per acre at 10 GPA with the John Deere high-clearance sprayer for our insecticide treatment. These studies were conducted in 2007 and 2008 at the Macon Ridge Research Station near Winnsboro, Louisiana. Our tests were set up as illustrated here by this plot diagram. This represents one run of our test. We were able to complete 5 runs over the course of 2 years. Treatments were arranged in 8 to 16 row strips, 300 feet long, and laid adjacent to each other with a 4-row buffer zone in the middle. We also had a buffer zone on the outer edge of the test area. A pre-treatment sample was taken from these buffer areas, and post-application samples were taken at 24, 48, 72, 96, and 120 hours after treatment. At each sampling period, we use a different 50-foot section because of some destructive sampling. Before treatments were initiated, we wanted a population of one tarnished plant bug nymph per row foot in the test area. We monitored this with a black shake sheet, and shake sheet sampling also occurred at each sampling period just to verify the presence of a tarnished plant bug throughout the test. And this was all done during the flowering stage of cotton. Our within plant distribution sampling was done with a team of samplers who searched randomly selected plants throughout the plot area. Each plant was searched in its entire, from top to bottom, every node, every fruiting structure. We recorded the number of plants that we sampled. The location of the nymphs was described by, let's see if we can get this to work. There it is. the main stem node below the terminal, the horizontal fruiting position, and the fruiting structure that the nymph was found on. We classified our structures as squares, white flowers, and bowls. Sampling continued until the location of 20 nymphs had been found. Our nymphs were classified as a large nymph containing wing pads or a small nymph without wing pads. For the purpose of this presentation, I will not include the entire data set. This graph illustrates our nymphal size breakdown at 72 hours after treatment. On the y-axis, we have a percent of our sample, which was 20 nymphs. And the x-axis, we have our non-treated and our acephate treated, as well as our pre-treatment sample. All of these were analyzed individually. In the non-treated at 72 hours, and as well as the pre-treatment, we had significantly more small nymphs represented in red as compared to the blue large nymph. However, in our acephate treated at 72 hours, we had no significant difference in nymph size, which tells us that we think we killed more small nymphs compared to large nymphs, which is what we would have expected. This next graph illustrates our nymphal distribution on fruiting forms in our non-treated plants. Again, on the y-axis, we have our percent of our sample, and on the x-axis, we have our different sampling periods from pre all the way through 120 hours after treatment. Data shows us here that more nymphs were found on squares as compared to white flowers and bowls. Squares are represented in blue. Our values range from a low of 76% to a high of 92% of our sample size. And we never found more than about 15% of our sample on white flowers or bowls. Looking at our acephate treated plots, our distribution on the fruiting forms, we didn't see a real change. We still found more squares represented in blue again, as compared to white flowers and bowls. This time our values range from about 74% to 86%. This tells us that an acephate application will not affect the nymphal distribution on the fruiting forms. For our vertical distribution, to compare, we divided our nodes into three vertical strata. The upper strata containing nodes 1 through 5, middle 6 through 10, and lower 11 through 15. This graph illustrates our nymphal distribution within the vertical strata at 72 hours after treatment. Again, on the y-axis, we have percent of our sample, which is 20 nymphs, and our treatments along the x-axis. In our non-treated at 72 hours, and as well as our pre-treatment, the upper and middle strata had relatively the same amount of nymphs, no significant difference in the amount of nymphs in those two strata. However, in our acephate treated, we see that the middle strata had significantly more nymphs than our upper strata and our lower strata. And in all sampling periods, non-treated and acephate and in pretreatment, we found less than 10% of our nymphs, our 10% of our sample in the lower strata. And this is true. So to summarize our data, on insecticide treated cotton plants at 72 hours after treatment, the number of small nymphs and large nymphs were similar. There were more tarnished plant node nymphs found on squares as compared to other fruiting forms in both treatments and during all sampling periods. Similar numbers of tarnished plant bug nymphs were found on nodes 1 through 5 and 6 through 10, or upper and middle strata, for both treatments and at 72 hours after treatment. In our acephate-treated plants at 72 hours after treatment, more tarnished plant bug nymphs were found on nodes 6 through 10, or our middle strata, as compared to nodes 1 through 5 and 11 through 15. This information should be used in conjunction with results from ongoing studies to further refine sampling protocols and action thresholds for tarnished plant bugs on reproductive stage cotton plants. I'd like to thank all the employees and student interns at the Macon Ridge Research Station, and also National Cotton Council and Cotton Incorporated and LSU Ag Center for their funding in this project. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
We do have time for questions.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you sample your plants on a consistent
The question was, what time of the day did we try and keep it at a same time every day our sampling? Yes, ma'am. I know it was always around, I tried to do it around 10:30 to 12 o'clock, and that was mainly because that's when the dew came off the plants, and that was the first time we could get in a field, and we started doing that, so we just continued doing that throughout the rest of the studies. No, ma'am, I did not. But that's something we can look into. Yes, sir.
So what are the implications? Because as I understand it, the bee sheet seems to be the preferred method, but all the nymphs are ended up in the upper and middle strata. Do you may not have thought about it yet, but just conjecture, do you expect to change sampling protocols because of setup that you have?
Well, I think this is just showing us something we should consider, that we are changing the nymphs. We're changing the environment when we go out and spray. And a lot of times we go out, consultants might go out maybe the next day or 3 days later. So it's something they should think of in the back of their mind when they're maybe where they're looking or what sampling technique they should use. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. That's correct. That's correct. No, sir. Well, no, we sampled, once we started on a plant, we sampled it all the way through. And at a lot of times, especially in our non-treated, we would find anywhere from 5-6 nymphs on the same plant. And if we went over 20, we happened to go over 20. We wanted at least 20 nymphs. That was our sample size. Yes?
How many minimum plants that you sampled?
No, I wanted to make sure I sampled the entire plant just to give it a more, I guess, an unbiased sample.
Right, but how many minimum plants?
How many plants did we sample?
Yeah.
We didn't have a minimum. I don't know if I'm understanding your question.
Is it possible that you had 10 nymphs in one plant and you got 2 plants and you were done?
Yes, it could have been possible, yes. It depended, but it could have been anywhere from 10 to 30 plants depending on the run. But it should be noted that in our acephate-treated plots, we found on average about 40%. We sampled about 40% more plants than in our non-treated plots.
I may have been dozing, but how long does this change in vertical distribution last after treatment?
So this, I showed the 72 hours, and I'm still working on the 96 and the 120. It looks like maybe at 120 that's starting to come back up. Starting to just re-even out as in non-treated. And we didn't really see a consistent change until 72 hours. That's what the data is looking like so far.
At what stage does a tarnished plant bug get a wing pad? Is it a third instar?
Fourth and fifth instar. Yes.
Thank you, Kyle.
All right, thank you all.